for a while and play, because music soothes the savage beast.
You can just feel the presence
and the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming off of those keys, can't you? And it just kind of sweeps over you and puts you in a mood. You know, you take your girlfriend out on a date, you go to a place where there's some nice music. Or your wife, who is your girlfriend. So God wants to put you in the mood here this morning. He wants to date you here this morning. He wants to draw nigh unto you as you draw nigh unto Him. Draw nigh unto the Lord. He loves it when you snuggle up against Him. He desires to snuggle with you. I can stand here. I can tell you about the Lord. I can tell you about all the experiences that I've had with the Lord. But I can't give you the Lord. I can't give you God. I can tell you all about Him. I can tell you about how wonderful He's been to me and how much I felt His love over the years and the situations and the scenarios that He has delivered me out of many of the fears that I used to walk in even from childhood, that God has redeemed me from. But you've got to reach out and want God for yourself. You can't just come to church on a Sunday morning and listen to a nice sermon about the Lord. That's nice. That's wonderful. It can stir you. It can do a lot of things to you. But the desire of your heart, you've got to reach out to God and receive Him for yourself. It's just like the day of salvation. Many people may have told you about the love of Jesus Christ. They may have told you about what happened on Calvary, told you the entire plan of salvation. That's all you needed to know to get saved. But for whatever reason, at that time, you did not reach out to apprehend God for yourself. So, you can hear 10,000 sermons and walk away without any God. Unless your heart this morning is tuned in, turned toward the Lord, if it is, you will apprehend Him. And He will touch the deepest need that you have, because only the Lord knows the needs of His body. Of His body. If His little toe's hurting, He knows it. If He's got a pain in His back, He knows it. He feels every infirmity in His body, and you are His body. And wherever you're hurting, He knows it. And He's going to touch that spot this morning. Because you're here this morning because hopefully your heart is after God. Hopefully you're not here this morning because your mother came and you had to come with her. I wouldn't have gone, but I, you know, for Mom's sake. Mom feels better when I go to church with her. I'll make Mom feel good. I hope you're not here because this was the best thing you had going this morning and it gets you out of the house. Get a spaghetti and meatball dinner today. I'm kind of looking forward to that. Or did you come here desiring the sincere milk of the Word if you're a young Christian? Then you should be drawing on the breast of God drinking the sincere milk of the Word. Or maybe you're a little bit more mature than just a child in the Lord. And maybe you're here to partake of the bread of life. Maybe you're off the milk and you're on the bread. Or maybe you've even gone a little bit beyond that. You're not on the milk. And you've kind of got beyond the bread stage. And you've come here for some meat this morning. God's prepared. He's laid a table out before you. If you need milk, He's got milk. If you need the bread of life, He's got the daily bread. Can't you smell it? I can smell it. Nice, warm bread when it's in the oven. You can just... It fills the whole house with bread, the smell of bread. Or if you need the meat of His Word, He's here to carve you off a slice. If that's what you need, He's here to give it to you. He is here. Jesus said, in an acceptable time, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth. And to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. In an acceptable time, I heard you. There came a time in your life, and God knew the acceptable time. It had to be acceptable to Him too, because God has an order in His creation. Every man, Charles, every man his own order, right, Charles? He knew the acceptable time. He knew when your heart was going to be ready. He even prepared your heart. He may have allowed you to go through a lot of tribulation before you came to that place. The Bible says it's through a lot of suffering and tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. And I hate to tell you, but it never really stops. I wished I could say once you walk through the door, Jesus, that all of a sudden your golden chariot was waiting for you. And off you went with your long, blonde or black hair flowing in the breeze of the Holy Spirit. On your way to that great mansion on Hallelujah Heaven or on Hallelujah Highway. But it doesn't work that way. So He heard you in the day of salvation. Now, why did He do that? He said, I did that so I can preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. Well, that means I've got some kind of a purpose. He didn't just save me to save me. He saved me because He says, I'm going to give you as a covenant to the people. And when I give you as a covenant to the people, when I give you as my promise to my creation, that's what He's saying, I promise my creation deliverance, and my deliverance is in you. His name is Jesus the Christ. And He's inside of you. And He's inside of you to restore the earth. I will preserve you and I will give you as a covenant, as a promise to the people that you may restore the earth. Wow. Wow. What a vision. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth. Go forth. Come out of your prison cells. Come out of your bondage and come into the liberty that's in Christ Jesus. And to those who are in darkness, show yourself. The Lord spoke something to me on the way over Tylersville here today. He said, it's showtime. It's showtime. It's time for you to go forth and show yourself. Now, is He talking about showing yourself, how good you can dance, how good a singer you are, how intellectual you are. No. He's talking about showing forth the praises of Him that has called us out of darkness. And His name is Jesus. And Jesus says, it's showtime. We have come to that place in the Father's plans and purposes where it's time to show forth the glory of God. The glory of God. Now, how am I going to show forth the glory of God? He said that He saved me. He said that He's preserved me. And He tells me I'm going to go forth and restore the earth. That I'm going to say to the prisoners, go forth, and to those who are in darkness. What am I going to show them that they haven't already seen yet? Or that they haven't already heard yet? God knows we've heard 10 gazillion sermons. We've read 10 gazillion books from different people that have been touched by God and given glory to God. And those things are all good. But there's something in this hour that God is going to start showing forth that really hasn't been fully manifested in this earth a few times maybe, but certainly on Calvary it was manifested. And that is the love of God. The next great revelation that's coming to this earth is His love. And this is where I've been the past few weeks. The Lord has always challenged me with a word that He spoke to me over 30 years ago when I initially got saved on March 20, 1976. And He said, I have forgiven you. Now go walk in love. First off, you can't walk in love unless you know you're forgiven. You got to know the forgiveness of God. Not only just for the world, but you got to know it for yourself first. You got to understand that there's no more condemnation for the things that you've said and the things that you've done in the past or even in the future. There is no condemnation that you're in Christ. But God wants a people to raise up in this hour and show His love. There's different kinds of love, and we've had teachings and sermons on the three types of love. But the love I'm talking about is the agape love of God. And the first time that that revelation was revealed in this earth was in John 3:16, where God says, I so loved you that I gave you my only begotten Son. That was a great day that salvation was revealed. But there was something even greater revealed than salvation. The first thing that was revealed, for God so loved the world. And that was the first thing that God spoke about. That's the first thing that God talked about on that day. I so love you. And what does God's sacrificial love do? I so love you, I'm willing to give you the greatest possession that I possess. And that is the life of my Son. It's a self-sacrificial love that God's talking about. It's a love that I'm not so sure I've ever seen anybody really walk in this kind of love. I mean, I can point my finger to a few people. Mother Teresa is probably the first one that comes in my mind, although I've never met her personally, never walked with her. Wished I would have had the opportunity to spend some time with her in Calcutta. I'm sure it was just like walking with Jesus. But God wants us to show forth that love. And so the Lord challenged me with a question some weeks back. And the question was this, and I've asked it of a couple of other people, and they can't shake it. They came back to me a week later and said, "Man, you know that, you know, when you said the Lord said that to you, and you said it to me, and I can't get it out of my head." And the word was, "What have you done with love? What have you done with love? What have you done with love?" I don't know why the Lord didn't say, "What have you done with my love?" But he just said, "What have you done with my love?" And that was a very thought-provoking. I kind of couldn't get it out of my head. I still can't get it out of my head. And it got me on a real search the last few weeks of going to the Lord and meditating and getting quiet before the Lord and saying, "Lord, what is it that you're trying to say to me?" And he said, "Well, 34 years ago, I said, walk in love. What have you done with that love?" I thought, well, you know, initially when the Lord spoke that to me, I said to myself when I was a young Christian, well, you know, maybe when the Lord says walk in love, you know, you have to become an experienced Christian to go through a lot of processing, and then the love of God will start showing forth in you. So I kind of took myself off the hook a little bit. But he distinctly said to me, walk in love, just like he's saying to every one of us here. I don't care where you're at in the Lord. He says, I've commanded you in a loving way, but I've commanded you to walk in love. That's the only commandment that Jesus really left us. He didn't pull out the Ten Commandments because he knew that when he said walk in love, you would fulfill all the Ten Commandments. So there was no need to hold the Ten Commandments under your nose, because if you're walking in love, you're not going to cheat on your neighbor's wife. You're not going to steal from your brother. You're not going to blah, blah, blah. We all know the Ten Commandments. But if you're walking in this love that God's talking about, you fulfill all the law. It really makes life simple. You don't have to worry about stealing and coveting and yada, yada, yada if you just walk in love. And then in Ephesians, Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, little children, walk in love. And I thought to myself, he said little children. Well, aren't you going to give me some time, Lord, to get processed? Aren't you giving me time to get some of the crapola out of me? Aren't you going to be a little bit more patient with me? And he said, no, I said, little children, walk in love. I said, come as a child to enter into my kingdom. So I'm kind of without excuse, because the day you got saved, you took on a love nature. So we're kind of without excuse. Now, the old man, he's loaded with reasons why he can't walk in love. But there's a new nature in us that loves God and loves creation and loves its neighbor as it loves himself, as he loves himself. I never even knew I was going to start off on that one. So why is it that sometimes we just don't feel like we've measured up in that category? I think that's what Paul meant when he said, you know, I'm striving for the high calling, to where I can come to that time in the Lord when I'm walking in the fullness of that love. And I think that's what he was striving for. And I think that that's what God wants us to strive for, to walk in that love. Paul said, put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him that created him. Put off the old man. I finally have come somewhat to the conclusion, the reason why the Lord asked me that question was, when we're born again, we are now a part of the family of God, and we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And there's a terrible warfare that starts at that stage of the game. It's between the new man and the old man of the house. And you say, well, he was crucified with Christ. The old man is dead. Well, judiciously speaking, that's true. The old man was nailed to Calvary. But I don't know about you, but he doesn't feel too dead in me. Because I still think a lot of stuff I don't need to think. I still say a lot of things that I don't need to say, nor should I say. And if the Apostle Paul had struggles with this old man, then there's an old man we're struggling with, because Paul in Romans 6 and 7 said, I don't know what it is. Well, he knew what it was. But he said, the very thing that I know I should do, I don't do. It seems like there's something in me that's constantly warring and battling against this new creation man that's in me. I realize that what I'm saying is fairly simplistic, and it's a message that we've probably heard 10,000 times. And I even said to the Lord, Lord, everybody certainly at Wings has heard a message like this 1,000 times. Why should I deliver a message like this? And he said, until they're walking in it, I'm going to keep preaching it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'll preach it through whoever makes themselves available. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And until we're actually walking in this, until we've actually apprehended this thing, and we're showing it forth, like he said, now I want you to go and restore the earth, and I want you to show forth this glory that I'm talking about. Because I was a little reluctant, you know, when he said, I want you to preach on love. I thought, oh my God, you know. 20,000 books on love. I've heard 20,000 sermons at least on love. I'm going to get up and preach on love. And most of them, know more about the subject than I did. But he wants us to walk in it. And then the Lord gave me a prophetic word. And I don't know what time it was in the morning, but I knew it was the Lord. It was just this, you know, you guys, I'm sure many of you have woke up and heard the voice of the Lord, like a prophetic stream would just go through you, and you knew it was God speaking. I felt that it was a word that I better get up and I better write it down, because it was a little bit lengthy, and I knew that it was God. And it was a word that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you. And it says, my people, can you see and hear the winds of my spirit blowing? And coming from the east, the west, the north, and the south. It is coming to blow upon the dry bones of my people. Oh, gee, Lord, that's not nice. It's coming to blow upon the dry bones of my people. For there are many in the valley of indecision. Even though they have received my son Jesus, they have not taken on his life. So the spirit of burning is coming to blow upon the coals of their heart and to flame the fires of passion for my son once again. For the spirit of burning will blow and blow and blow upon the coals, and you will start to see the love and the passion for my son come back to my bride as in the days of old. And you will first start feeling the heat. and the warmth of His love. As the spirit of prophecy blows across my church, then you will see small flames as the heat intensifies off the coals. It will then, through the power of the spirit of burning, reach up and start consuming all the wood and the hay and the stubble. Then as the wood and the hay and the stubble starts to burn, the flames will become brighter and hotter and higher until the world starts seeing this light and feeling the warmth of this fire in you. And multitudes will come to the brightness of the rising of this light in you. For you see, the light is the knowledge of the true God being revealed in you. And this is one of the greatest problems we have in the church today. They don't know the true God. They hear of a God that will throw you in a fiery hell and keep you in a box, and He will never let you die. He will let you burn forever. And I'm telling you, the true knowledge of Jesus Christ has got to come forth in this hour. That He is not a God of condemnation. He is not a God that at the blink of an eye, He's just waiting up there with a big whip to hit you with it the minute you step out of line. All that is just old, crusty religion. And it's been like cholesterol in the body of Christ. It has just stopped up all the main arteries in the heart of the church, and it has built plaque in every vein of the body. And He says, for this light is the knowledge of the true God revealed in you. And the heat and the warmth is the overpowering love God has for His world and His creation. For this light and warmth is the glory of God, which is even now being revealed in the earth, as a witness to the glory which soon shall come and cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But God is sending His power. God is sending a burning spirit to the church. I met with some men this week, gave me a call. I had never met these men before in my life. They were from Orlando. One is a doctor at Good Samaritan Hospital. One is with Disney World. I think he's the voice of the Lion King down there. And then there's another man, young man, probably 32, 33. His wife used to be the assistant coach for the women at Ohio State University. But I got together with these men in my office this past week, and they were so on fire for God. I mean, these men, they had a commission from God. The Lord spoke to them in Orlando and said, I want you to go to the University of Cincinnati in the Coryville area, and I want you to get an old warehouse or an old coffee shop or something, and I want you to go over there with your flames of passion, with your flames of love, and run through that campus and get them all saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you something, those guys are going to do it. I mean, they were in my office for, I don't know how long, maybe an hour. But the fire that was burning in them, man, all of a sudden my coals started. I just felt myself getting fired up. And, you know, he says, my ministers are a flame of fire. Doesn't he say that? God is a consuming fire. And my ministers are flames of fire. And I think of that little fireplace that we got down on the farm where the kids roast their weenies and their marshmallows. And I see this big fire and all of a sudden these flames come licking up off that fire. And there's no difference in those flames or that base of fire that's right there. That wood and everything is kind of burning. All of a sudden these flames just come leaping up out of that fire. And God was showing me that's what I'm going to do in this hour. I'm going to bring about a fiery people. They're going to be so filled with my love and with my passion for my creation that anything that gets in their way, they're just going to consume it. Like the burning bush. But the bush wasn't harmed, was it? And that's what we're going to do. God's going to start sending burning bushes throughout the world, throughout the earth. And everywhere they go, everyone they touch, they're going to burn up the depression in them. They're going to set them free. They're going to break the bonds. They're going to raise the dead. They're going to heal the sick. And these flames are just going to start springing up all over the earth. they're going to start showing themselves forth. So it's all good. It's all good. I know normally when the church talks about flames of fire, it's like, oh my God, everybody just kind of shrinks down in their seat like this. Says, boy, the preacher's getting ready to unload on me today because I know I've been bad. But I want to end the sermon with a little song that you all know that Burt Bacharach wrote. And I'll start it out. And it says, goes like this. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now, help me out, is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. I wonder if Burt Bacharach realized that that was the Spirit of the Lord flowing right through his very innermost being. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. But what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Sweet love. Not tough love. Sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. He goes on to sing and he says, Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. And he says, oh Lord, if you want to know what the world needs now is love. No, not just for some, not just for the Baptists, not just for the Pentecostals, not just for the Presbyterians, but it's love for everyone. We've all gathered together and we've all loved each other. The ones that agree with my doctrine. God's raising up an army of lovers that are going to be his manifested love to the world. And it's going to be a light, and the people are going to come to it like bugs. You know, there's got to be a spiritual principle there somewhere, how you turn a light on all of a sudden all these bugs come. Yeah, they're all drawn to the light. I said to Marge, I said, honey, I wonder if it's the light that draws them or if it's the warmth of the light. And then the Lord started talking to me about, well, the light, son, is the knowledge I'm going to start imparting to my people so they know who the true God is. And the warmth is going to be the passion and the fire of my love for them. There's many of you that have been on the backside of a mountain. Like John the prophet said, he was in the wilderness until the time of his appearing unto Israel. And right now, many of you that have been walking in the deeper light and the deeper knowledge of the true God The Lord is saying, I'm going to bring you out of the wilderness, and I'm going to anoint you, and I'm going to send you forth with the true knowledge of who I am. And people are going to be like bugs. They're going to be drawn to the light of the brightness of your rising. They're going to be drawn to you. You know, in times past, we've gone into places and there's been a lot of light. But when we hang out a while, we don't find too much warmth. We find a lot of knowledge. We find people that know the book inward and outward, backwards, upwards, sidewards. But the warmth isn't there. The love isn't there. They kind of want people that dress the way they dress, kind of drive the same cars that they drive. Maybe even in some cases the same color that they are. But they have a lot of light. But when you get around them long enough, you start wondering where the warmth is, where the love is. Well, I got good news. Jesus Christ is coming in his fullness to this earth. And he's coming now. Now is this day of salvation. He's coming now in a people. And we're going to start seeing some horrendous changes all throughout the world. Because God's going to bring the fire. He's going to bring the fire. And what God's trying to do now is wake up his church. There are many, as the prophetic word says, in the valley of indecision. They've made a decision for Jesus Christ, but then maybe we stumbled into some building somewhere and now we're waiting for some kind of miraculous thing to happen to us. There's really no need to press further into the Lord. There's really no need to meditate on God. There's no need to feed this new man that's inside of me because I already have my inheritance. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven, wherever it is, whatever it is, but I'm going to go there. I know that. And then we take that inheritance that we got and we take it out into a worldly, fleshly environment. Instead of feeding that new man in us, he needs to be fed the milk of the word. He needs to be fed the bread of life. He needs to grow. He needs to grow in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we don't want to read the book. We don't want to pray. We don't want to go to church. We don't want to got a Super Bowl. And so that new man inside of us, he just stays this little wimpy. I sure would like some food. And we still eat of the leeks and the garlic in Egypt. But that's all changing. God's drawing a people unto themselves. And the Shulamite woman, she got a glimpse of the Lord when he opened the door. Remember the Song of Psalms, how the Lord opened the door and she saw the beauty of the Lord. And she went, oh my God, her heart just almost fainted within her because the love and the glory of the Lord. And she went after him. She ran out and he was gone. What happened to my beloved? She ran down the streets and she talked to different men and different people. Have you seen my beloved? Not really. And that's the way it is sometimes when we get a glimpse of the Lord. And like I did, and I went and I ran to my priest. And I said, let me tell you what happened to me. And his response was, well, if it doesn't happen again, don't get mad at God. I went, oh, geez. I don't want to get mad at God. I mean, that was the response that I got. But then she finally got to know the Lord a little bit better. And like the song that we sing around here, you then see her in a few chapters further down where she says, draw me. And I will run to you, Lord. Draw me, and I will run to you, Lord. So that's in closing. We'll sing that song this morning. Because I'll tell you something. You don't just go to God at a convenient time. You can't treat God like he's your waiter. You go to God and you say, the same way you did when you accepted Jesus Christ. Every time you go to God, you bow your head and you say, Lord, I'm not worthy, but because of your righteousness in me, because of your blood that's covering me, please, God, draw me. Draw me that I might know you and the power of this resurrection that you're talking about. Draw me, Lord, and I'll run to you. I'll run to you, Lord. But you got to draw me. You've got to draw me. Why don't you sing that? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You can either go into the chow hall or you can hang around in the sanctuary for a few minutes if you want to.